Hey, yo, golly, good Lord. Damn, what a bloodbath this past weekend between Tim Zhu versus Sebastian Fundura. Both men was covered in blood. From round 1 to round 12, Tim Zhu couldn't see. Sebastian Fundura couldn't breathe. Yo, I'm telling you, covered in blood. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would have seen the split that Tim Zhu had in his head, hey, yo, he looked like that time of the month. Tim Zhu looked like a period. Hey, yo, Tim Zhu, remind me of one of my shorties back in the days in high school. You feel me? When she was like, you know, I ain't ready and stuff like that. I got my period and stuff like that. And I'm like, hey, yo, baby, ain't nothing wrong with a little bit of ketchup on a hot dog. Ain't nothing wrong with a little bit of hot sauce on my plate. Nah, I'm joking around. Sorry. It's Easter. I don't want to be nasty. But damn, these guys was covered in blood like Jesus Christ. Hold on. I ain't going to say that either, man. That's blasphemy. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, yo, what a wonderful fight. The showcase of warrior gladiators, man. Wow. But man, I feel sorry for Tim Zhu though. You know why? Because, look, I mean, they fighters. We don't gotta pity the fighters and stuff like that. But he lost the fight. Sebastian Fundura became a unified champion in the junior middleweight division. He's holding the WBO and the WBC strap, right? It was a 12 days short notice. You know, it was supposed to be Tim Zhu versus Keith and Tom Thurman. And Tim Zhu was in training camp preparing for Keith and Tom Thurman and things of that nature. And Sebastian Fundura was training to prepare for the fight that fought Brian Mendoza, in which he became the WBC, the Ukrainian fighter became the WBC interim champion. Look, I give a lot of credit for Tim Zhu and Sebastian Fundura for fighting on so short of notice, right? But I gotta hold Tim Zhu's team accountable in this sense. I mean, they got a lot of heart. They trust their fighter and things of that nature. But Tim Zhu is young enough that he didn't have to fight a 6'6 southpaw at the 154-pound division, in which Sebastian Fundura is championship caliber. In 12 days notice, as a matter of fact, scratch the 12 days notice, because remember, the last week is fight week. So they ain't even training. So to be honest, Sebastian Fundura and Tim Zhu only had 1 week to prepare. But let me tell you like this, Sebastian Fundura was more comfortable in the ring than Tim Zhu, or preparing for Tim Zhu than Tim Zhu was preparing for Sebastian Fundura. You're just not going to get a 6'6 sparring partner. You're just not going to get, you ain't going to snatch somebody in the NBA. Hey, yo, LeBron James, help me spar, because, you know what I'm saying? You know, Lonzo Ball, somebody like that, you know, Draymond Green, help me out. You feel me? It's hard to prepare. Even if he had 8 weeks, it's hard to prepare for Sebastian Fundura, you know? And I knew coming into the fight that it was a 50-50 fight, but I was surprised. I was surprised because Sebastian Fundura did what he normally don't do, and that's fight to his height. You feel me? He usually fights to the level of his opponent in terms of height. He always want to brawl. He always want to make it a fight, even though that is entertaining for the fans. But he always was making his job harder. You know what I'm saying? Sebastian Fundura and Brandon Figueroa got the same problem. They always taller than their opponents, but they always want to brawl. They want to stay in the inside. They want to be, you know, they put themselves in vulnerable position when they don't even need to put themselves in vulnerable position. But Sebastian Fundura displayed a wonderful jab throughout the rounds. You know, I was saying when I was watching the fight that I hope that he keep that consistency, because in the second half of the fight, you know, it was complete shutout. A lot of people's gonna be blaming that Tim Zhu had a lot of blood in his eye, but also Sebastian Fundura was also was bloodied up. You feel me? Like I said in the beginning, he couldn't see, he couldn't breathe. Both of these guys endured. But I gotta hold Tim Zhu a little bit of accountable for picking this type of fight. He's young enough. He had great momentum. He didn't need to get in the ring with this type of lack of preparation. Now, and then knowing that you didn't have a rematch clause, so I gotta put that on the team. You had a rematch clause. They already mandated Book Crawford to fight to negotiate after 5 days after the bout. Whoever was the winners from Duro Tim Zhu. You know, and then the Earl Spence came out and said that he wanted the winner and things of that nature. And y'all saw Earl Spence and Sebastian Fundura chop it up in a post-fight interview. Earl Spence crashed the post-fight interview. So, yo, I do think that Tim Zhu deserve a rematch, in my opinion. I think that's the moral thing to do. Give him a rematch, but I don't think that's going to happen. The business of boxing speak, it looked like it spoke loud and clear right after the fight that they're trying to make this Tim Zhu, Sebastian Fundura versus Earl True Spence. And hopefully maybe Tim Zhu still get a shot at Buck Crawford. Maybe Tim Zhu get a shot at Erickson Lubin, or maybe Josh Kelly out there in the UK. I think it'll be a massive fight. It's unfortunate that he's not going to get the rematch right away. And Samson Liquid said in the interview right after the fight that, you know, a Dallas fight between Fundura and Earl the True Spence is going to sell out the arena. They had great numbers out there when Earl Spence fought Yurdenis Ugas, and I think they're going to have a better number. I think they ranked up 40K attended that fight. And I think they could do 50K with Fundura. I think they could do better than the Yurdenis Ugas fight. But before that, Earl Spence was undefeated. But I think that Earl Spence got a good loyal fan base. And I think that a lot of people are going to show up. But it was a great event. We seen Rolly Romero lose to Pitbull Cruz. Pitbull Cruz did a wonderful job as well. You know, the effect of aggression is one of the criterias in scoring bouts, and he did it very efficiently. You know, he was connecting with some left hooks. Rolly Romero actually was boxing. I think this was the best. To be honest, even though that he got stopped by Pitbull Cruz, it was the best boxing I've seen from Rolly Romero. Now, we got to give Rolly Romero the benefit of the doubt in this sense, that Rolly Romero started boxing at the age of 17, and to reach the level that he's reached, you got to commend his team. You got to commend him as a fighter. Pitbull Cruz started at the age of 7. And to be honest, for a guy that started at the age of 7, you know, he don't look as polished as a Devin Haney, as a Shakur Stevenson, as a Teofimo Lopez. I mean, everybody is different. That's the beauty about the sport of boxing. And every fighter is different. But if you telling me like who started boxing first, if I'm looking at both fighters, they look like they both started around the same age. I think that Pitbull Cruz, if he started at the age 7, he should be way more superior than Rolly Romero. And I think that Rolly Romero, I think, showed a little bit more better boxing than Pitbull Cruz. But the effect of aggression is elite. We saw Gervonta Tang Davis having problem with that effect of aggression. Even in the post-fight interview when Gervonta Tang Davis beat Pitbull Cruz in a close fight, they asked him if he wants to rematch Pitbull Cruz, and he was like, hell no. So you got to give credit to Pitbull Cruz, and I think that that's going to be a realistic rematch later on in the fall. We got to see if Gervonta Tang Davis does fight Frank Martin, and he comes with a victory. I think he's going to beat Frank Martin. But before we go dive into the Rolly Romero and Pitbull Cruz in the 140-pound division, the 154-pound division is one of the most stacked division in the sport of boxing. And, of course, they got the unified champion, and they saying what's next. What's next for Sebastian Fundura? So, again, next week, business days, Crawford team and Fundura's team got to negotiate. We see in the post-fight interview as well, in the post-fight press conference, Sebastian Fundura, is interested in fighting Earl the True Spence. He think that was a dream fight for him, but he also alluded that he wants to fight the best in the world, and he said that Terrence Book Crawford is the best in the world, and he wants to fight Terrence Book Crawford, and I think that's a good matchup. But Terrence Book Crawford is not signed with PBC, and I think they're trying to do some in-house work. Just like every promotional company, they do their inside work first. That's their priority. And Terrence Book Crawford as a free agent is not a priority of PBC. So as a business, it just makes sense that they have to worry about the people in their home. You know, I know a lot of fans don't want to hear it, but you got to. This is a business at the end of the day. You know, Top Rank is going to look after their fighters first. And going to put their fighters up against each other. Golden Boy Promotion is going to do the same thing. Matchroom Boxing is going to do the same thing, right? And It's just like, look, Matchroom Boxing, they're going to want to put Matias versus Devin Haney first, then a Matias versus Teofimo Lopez, then a Matias versus Pitbull Cruz, because that's the easier fight to make, even though that, of course, Devin Haney's not with Matchroom, but he always goes back to Matchroom, and it seems like they're a team, but there's no string attached, something like that. They got like a good business ship. I think that Devin Haney's gonna go back to Matchroom after this fight with Ryan Garcia, April 20th. But what's next for Sebastian? This is my realistic take. I think that Sebastian Fundura is gonna drop the WBO belt if PBC and the business handlers convince Fundura that, you know, you did something good, you became a unified champion, and now it's better to get the money right now. It's an opportunity for you to make a lot of money. Pay-per-view event. There's going to be his second pay-per-view event that he's going to be headlining versus Earl the True Spence, and I think it's going to be a bona fide great fight. I mean, stylistically, it just meshes up as being another bloodbath, in my opinion. Two southpaws. I actually think that Fundura probably is gonna, is with his jab, if he stay consistent with the jab, I think that he's going to come on top versus Earl the True Spence. We don't know how prepared is Earl the True Spence to get back in preparation. He's gonna have to find a new trainer, I believe. So there is rumors out there, that I don't think it's rumors. I think they clarify that. That Derek James, the trainer of Earl the True Spence, is suing Earl Spence, or on the verge of suing him, because he's trying to get paid for the last fight that Earl Spence had with Bud Crawford. But that's for another story. But I think realistically, I think that Fundura will drop the WBO belt, and then Bud Crawford, who is already petitioned to fight for the WBO strap, probably going to fight Erickson Lubin. Erickson Lubin is rated number 2, but he's with PBC as well. Or he'll fight Josh Kelly out there in the UK. I just think that the business of boxing probably will have Erickson Lubin versus Bud Crawford. Again, a lot of people want to see Bud Crawford versus Fundura. Did I say Tim Tszyu? I think I meant to say that Bud Crawford is going to be fighting Fundura. Anyway, let me go back there. You know, I've been looking at boxing so much that the names just coming at me and ish like that. But look, I think that Bud Crawford could fight Erickson Lubin, and Bud Crawford could fight Josh Kelly if Fundura does vacate the titles and fight Earl the True Spence. But also, Bud Crawford could fight Jermell Charlo. In the end of the day, I think that Bud Crawford will have to do business with PBC. The only problem is that he should sign a multi-fight deal with PBC, just like Canelo Alvarez did, just like Manny Pacquiao did. But if you're going to try to get the belt from the PBC fighters without signing a PBC contract, why would they give you the belt? Why would they have you as a priority? You know, a lot of people saying that Bud Crawford is being blackballed by PBC. I don't think so. I think that Terrence Bud Crawford is making the business decision to not sign with PBC. So what? Terrence Bud Crawford can't be mad that he's not a priority of Al Haymon. And fans can't be mad at that. So let's see what the WBO going to do. If they could really force this fight. In all reality, once you drop the belt, you can't ever force a fighter to fight. To be honest, I think the business is gonna take place, and Fundura may drop the WBO and keep the WBC belt. Now, I say for Bud Crawford to go after Jermell Charlo. To be honest, because if he beats Jermell Charlo, even though there's gonna be a tough fight, 50-50 fight, you know, two undisputed going at one another, because I still look at Jermell Charlo as the king in 154 pound division. Nobody beat him in 154 in terms of taking his title away, you know. I know a lot of people see it like he doesn't have the belt, so people can't recognize him as undisputed. But in my opinion, come on, man, we know the truth. He never lost the belt in 154. It's just like Canelo Alvarez. Canelo Alvarez, he never lost the belts. I mean, he never lost at 168. You know, the only difference is that the Belt Federation didn't strip or didn't put Canelo Alvarez in championship and recess like they did Jermell Charlo. You know, they in the same boat, in my opinion. We see that Canelo Alvarez just have power over the sanctioning bodies. and Jermell Charlo probably doesn't. But I still see both of these guys as undisputed. If Bill Crawford does fight Jermell Charlo and beat Jermell Charlo, then at the end of the day, Bill Crawford looks like the man. You know, that's almost an equivalent to becoming a 3-division undisputed world champion, in my opinion. Because again, Fundora may be holding the belt, but he never beat Jermell Charlo. Tim Zoo may have been holding the belt, but he ain't beat Jermell Charlo. Whoever gonna collect that IBF vacant, it ain't beat Jermell Charlo. So I think that should be the next move. If Errol Spence is gonna block Bud Crawford and take the Fundora fight, just go after Jermell Charlo, and I think it'll be a great fight, a great entertaining fight. I think a lot of people shouldn't be a slave to the moment where Jermell Charlo went up 2 divisions up and fought Canelo Alvarez. I think a lot of people's thinking about that, and a lot of people's thinking about Bud Crawford performance versus Earl the True Spence, and people think that a Bud Crawford and Jermell Charlo fight, that Bud Crawford is that Jermell Charlo is some type of cakewalk, and it's not. So I think there's a wonderful fight in 154. So I think that's going to be the realistic play. When it comes to the 140-pound division, it just got more interesting because I think a lot of people didn't respect Rolly Romero as a belt holder. You know, he lost to Javante Tan Davis, then he moved up. Then politically, they put Rolly Romero to fight for a vacant title. And a lot of people would be like, oh, no, but that's the PBC. That's the PBC. Nah, it's not only the PBC. You know, Top Rank does it. Been doing it with Vasily Lomachenko. Remember when Vasily Lomachenko lost to Salido? Y'all remember? And he got a title shot, right? Right after. For the vacant title versus Gary Russell Jr. Y'all remember? And then once again, you know, he's going to be fighting George Kambosa, fighting for a vacant title right after he lost to Devin the Dream Haney. So I don't want to hear people say that this is just PBC that's doing it with Rolly. Nah, Top Rank has done it with Lomachenko. Again, a lot of these sanctioning bodies in the pockets of these promotional companies or these other boxing entities, that's just business, right? It's unfortunate, but it is what it is. That's why we got to do our job as boxing, as hardcore boxing fans, to really identify, to identify the truth, so we can recognize the truth. But 140-pound division with Pitbull Cruz as champion is probably more attractive than Rolly Romero being the champion, because I think a lot of fighters and a lot of people didn't respect Rolly as being a WBA belt holder. Now you got Teofimo Lopez as the lineal king and holds the WBO strap in 140-pound division. He beat Josh Taylor, who was the undisputed. And you got Devin the Dream Haney, who moved up and beat Regis Progress, that was holding the WBC strap that was vacated by Josh Taylor. And he won the WBC strap versus Cepeda. And Devin Haney moved up as a lightweight undisputed and for Regis Progress and captured the world title. So you got Teofimo Lopez, you got Devin Haney, they're going to be performing April 20th in the Barclays Center, New York City, my city, versus Ryan Garcia. That's going to be a wonderful fight. That's a 50-50 fight as well. And just like the Rolly Romero and Pitbull Cruz, you never know who's going to win. Things could change in a month, right? But for right now, you got Devin Haney, you got Teofimo Lopez, and you got Subrain Matias, the Puerto Rican monster, right? He's going to be fighting Liam Paru. That fight as well could go either way in terms of skill set. That fight could go either way. So a lot of things could be changing by the summer. But as of right now, Matias, Tio, Haney, and our Pitbull Cruz, I think this is the best division in the sport of boxing, in my opinion. Now, can you imagine? Now, I would love to see Pitbull Cruz versus a Haney and versus a T.O. and to unify, but the most entertaining matchup will be Pitbull Cruz and Matias, based off their approach, their offensive approach. They're not there to outbox anybody. They're out there to beat somebody up. They're out there to fight. Both of these guys understand that they don't have the I'm gonna beat you in points type of style, you know. So I think that's gonna be one of the most deadliest matchups in the sport of boxing. That's like the pressure that both of these guys put. I think that Matias is more of an educated pressure. I think they throw good high-volume punches. They throw bombs. They go through the body. They go up top. They throw some haymakers. Their defense lack a little bit. We saw Pitbull Cruz was getting hit with a lot of right hands. versus Rolly Romero. And I think if Rolly Romero could land those right hands constantly throughout throughout the whole rounds, it was just landing at will. If Matias landing all them right hands, shoo, man, I think Matias could really hurt Pitbull Cruz. But also, the way that he has his head down could also hurt the hand of Subriel Matias. The best thing about Subriel Matias in this sense is that Subriel Matias holding the IBF strap, he still has to fight in that the IBF has a rule, the 10-pound rehydration rule, right? But if it's a unification bout, he don't gotta fight under that rule because it's a unification bout. Then Subriel Matias will have the luxury to rehydrate to whatever weight. And if he's dangerous now with the limitation of 10 pounds, imagine when he doesn't have that type of limitation, you know, when he doesn't have that type of, you just got to come in 10 pounds. He could come 15, 16, 17 pounds. Of course, not 25 pounds like Devin the Dream Haney came versus Regis Prograis, that he came in as 165 pounder, as almost a super middleweight. But hey, he could come in pause at that as well. I think that's the most entertaining unification bout, in my opinion. You put Matias versus Pitbull Cruz. You put Devin Haney versus Teofimo Lopez in the end of the year. And 2023 is going to be one of the most epic years in the sport of boxing. I think probably it could supersede last year. Because last year was a wonderful year in the sport of boxing. And 100-plus year in the sport of boxing, 2023 is one of the best years and the most lucrative years ever. Shout out to PBC, TGB, Showtime for it. But this fight, this event, you got to give a lot of credit to PBC, TGB, Al Heyman for this, and Amazon Prime, bringing boxing to a new platform and in a big way. Las Vegas was a packed out house. It was a beautiful win. I think this is what Keith Thurman said. Keith Thurman did say, he did congratulate all the fighters, and he did congratulate Sebastian Fundura. Hopefully Keith Thurman get back in the ring. I think that's gonna be a long shot. I think a lot of people lost faith in Keith and Tom Thurman. But if you look at the house, if you look how packed it was, you gotta understand this. Keith Thurman does pack the house. Keith Thurman promoted this fight. This fight was not really promoted by Fundura and Tim Zhu like that. So you got to give a lot of credit to Keith on Tom Thurman, because it looked like if it was Keith on Tom Thurman tonight, it would have been a good outing. And I think a lot of people would have understood why Keith Thurman was going to be fighting on pay-per-view. It was a packed house out there in the Mandalay Bay. I believe it was the Mandalay Bay. Got to give a lot of credit to the promotion, to the promoters and getting this type of fight, you know, in short notice. They didn't budge. Got to give a lot of credit to PBC for not budging. I think that a lot of people around the sport of boxing, around the world of boxing, is giving a lot of credit to PBC and the way that they just, you know, they changed opponents and still made it a great event. It was an entertaining event. It was an entertaining fights. And for those who robbed the fight, because there's people out there that saying that they didn't want to pay for the fight, that they going to fight your stick. And I hope I hope that you take that fire stick and stick it up yours without Vaseline. Yeah, I said it. You thieves. I don't respect thieves in the sport of boxing. I'm here to preserve the sport of boxing, to preserve the modern-day wars, modern-day gladiators, the one that put their life on the line for pure entertainment. You don't want nobody to steal from your job, right? Ain't nobody want to steal from your store if you got a store. If you're an entrepreneur, you got a company, you don't want nobody to steal from you. Nobody want people to steal them when they trying to feed their family. And whether people like it or not, fighters, this is their job. This is their job. This is what they do to feed their family. You saw all the blood that was out there with Tim Zhu and Fundura, and you're going to rob that? You're going to rob that from them? You guys, people that likes to promote stealing pay-per-view events because you don't like the price or you don't like the product, then spend some time with your family. Spend some time with your kids. Don't go around thiefing other people's livelihood. You wouldn't like that. And ladies and gentlemen, in real life, what would happen if somebody steal from you? Steal from your livelihood, take food off your plate? What would you do? How would you respond? Exactly. So stop doing it to fighters, especially fighters. I mean, this ain't even basketball players, football players. Every hit they get in the head is a minor concussion. See, the problem is that a lot of boxing fans think they just directing or predicting certain fights the way they think it's going to go. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to pay for Thurman and Zoo. I'm not going to pay for Fundura and Zoo because it's not pay-per-view worthy. What you mean it's not pay-per-view worthy? We just saw a wonderful bloodbath. We saw a wonderful bloodbath. We seen an entertaining fight with Rolly Romero and Pitbull Cruz. You never know. You don't know how a fight is going to turn out. You don't know. Imagine if you was one of those guys that be like, oh, man, come on, man. Mike Tyson versus Buster Douglas, man. Mike Tyson going to wreck him. And then what happened? This is the beauty about the sport of boxing. You never know what you're going to get. You never know what you're going to get. So it was a great outing. Great outing. By all the fighters. Shout out to Zurdo Ramirez becoming a cruiserweight champion. Shout out to Zurdo Ramirez, man. And shout out to Golden Boy Promotions. I believe that Golden Boy Promotion, the PBC, especially Golden Boy Promotion, has set the tone of 2024. And PBC, everything is going to come along. Of course, you already know that guy in May, Cinco de Mayo, you got Canelo Alvarez versus Jaime Munguia. That's PBC, Golden Boy Promotions. And once again, in 20, like just like they did in 2023, they're probably going to have the most lucrative fight. On the most lucrative event in 2024 because of the collaboration of PBC and Golden Boy Promotions. But there's a couple of fighters that we hope to get back in the ring. We still want to see if Jermell Charlo going to return, when Demetrius Andre is going to return, who David, we know that David Benavidez is going to be moving up to the light heavyweight championship division bout, not championship division, but he's going to fight for the interim WBC to put himself in position for the winner of Dimitri Bivol and Beterbiev, Beterbiev, however you want to pronounce it. I like saying Beterbiev. I like that fight. That's one of the primary fights in the sport of boxing, Bivol and Beterbiev. Again, I was doing one of the podcast episodes we was talking about. What's the biggest fight for Canelo Alvarez? Is it the David Benavidez, because that's the most asked fight by pundits, pugilists, fans, independent media, and media. But what's the bigger fight for Canelo Alvarez' legacy? It's actually if he goes after the win of Bivol and Beterbiev. I think that would be the biggest fight for his legacy, because Canelo Alvarez stated that Benavidez doesn't bring anything to the table or doesn't have anything to offer, put it that way. And I think that Canelo Alvarez is speaking truth in that sense. But of course, we're the boxing fans and we want to see David Benavidez versus Canelo Alvarez. But we could always talk about that division. And I think that once we're getting closer to Canelo Alvarez versus Jaime Munguia, we could talk about the super middleweight division, because you still got the Morels of the world. I think David Benavidez said that he will come back down to the 168 if it's going to be Canelo Alvarez. We got Jaime Munguia, we got Edgar Belanga, we got Demetrius Andre, Caleb Plant. Maybe Jermall Charlo will move up and fight Caleb Plant or Demetrius Andre. I think that would be a good fight. Morel, I think a lot of people is going to avoid Morel as much as possible. Maybe Morel, that is a big boy as well, can move to the light heavyweight championship bout. Why do I keep saying light heavyweight championship bout? Light heavyweight division. I think the future of the light heavyweight division is going to be Ben Whitaker. That's going to be performing today. Shout out to Ben Whitaker, the surgeon, a.k.a. Benzo, a.k.a. the Cassius Clay of the UK. But for now, let's stick to the 154, because I think there's a lot of action. There's a lot of action. There's a lot of fighters. Also, the WBO ranking in the 154-pound division, you got Xander Zayas, Puerto Rican pride. Do you think that Xander Zayas is ready for the likes of Erickson Lubin, Josh Kelly? And I'm just talking about the top five rankings in the WBO. I think that Xander Zayas could fight in the final elimination bout or an elimination bout. Is he ready? Is he ready for the Bud Crawfords of the world? Is he ready? I don't know. I really don't know. You know what I'm saying? I think he's in the last two outings he made, I think he performed very, very well. But I don't think he made that type of statement for a fight versus a Bud Crawford. I think you don't got to rush him. That's the beauty about Xander Zayas. You don't got to rush him because think about it. Bud Crawford, Earl True Spence, Keith Thurman, even though that these guys are veterans and you need your young fighters to fight these veterans, you know, that's just the tradition of boxing. That's the cycle of life in boxing. You know, the potential, a potential star, a potential great fighter like Xander Zayas, he needs to go through a veteran. Maybe a gatekeeper or just a great polished veteran that's still active. You know, everybody who's went through that, right? But, yeah, 154-pound division is very, again, 140 and 154 is the best, is the most stacked division and lucrative division now. An interesting division because if you look at 154, it seems like anybody could be anybody, right? Charlo has lost to Tony Harrison, but then he beat Tony Harrison. Tim Zhu beat Tony Harrison, lost to Fundura. Fundura lost to Brian Mendoza. Brian Mendoza lost to Tim Zhu. You know, like it's like you don't know who's really gonna win. You know, and that's the beauty about the 154-pound division that you just don't know. You know, you got some good names. Look, you put Erickson Lubomboji upset Jesus Ramos. A lot of people didn't think that Erickson Lubomboji was going to win that fight. It was a close fight between Fundura and Lubin, but his face was all, it was just, they had to stop that fight. He was taking a lot of damage, but also Fundura was getting beaten up also by Lubin as well. They was beating each other up, right? You just don't know who's going to win, and Josh Kelly is emerging right back. I said almost 5 years ago that Josh Kelly is going to be one of the money makers in the sport of boxing. And I also think that if Boots Ennis go to the 154-pound division, I think it's making it more interesting. Use the IBF belt and petition your way into a mandatory spot. So I think that Boots Ennis right now, if he stays in 147-pound division, unless he get a Mario Barrios fight, he's in a ghost town. I think the welterweight division went from the most intrigued division in the sport of boxing and the most lucrative, because historically the welterweight division has been one of the main divisions in the sport of boxing, included with the heavyweight division, the middleweight division, and lightweight division. I think it's a ghost town right now, just like the middleweight division is a ghost town. Yes, Jennebeck is a champion. He's one of the fighters that people feel like is a boogeyman. Jamal Charlo is still holding the WBC strap. Weird, but I think a lot of people don't even want to see him fight anybody in the middleweight division. Carlos Adames is holding the WBC interim. I think that Jamal Charlo should be moving up to the 168-pound division and probably fight Caleb Plant and Andre, like I said earlier. I don't think people are looking at him like he's going to stay in the middleweight division. I don't know what the WBC is doing. They're really inconsistent in letting other fighters keep the belts, strip other belts, put other black fighters in champion in recess. They put Devin Haney in championship in recess, but they didn't put Jamal Charlo in championship recess. But look, I think boxing is alive and well, especially if the hardcore boxing fans just respect everybody. Not every entity, every promoter is going to give us the fight that we ask for right away. But if you look at the talent pool and how stacked all the divisions are really in terms of talent, I think we're in a good place in the sport of boxing. We just need to stop devaluing and discrediting everybody. I think that the boxing fans has become very, very bougie. We need to stop it. You know what I'm saying? Not every fight is gonna have a perfect outing. Not every promoter is gonna give you the fight that you want at the time frame that you want. Because boxing fans also we change our minds, right? You know, a lot of people was thinking very highly of Tim Zhu. I even did a couple of polls, and people were saying that Tim Zhu was way better than Jamal Charlo. And to be honest, Tim Zhu hasn't surpassed Jamal Charlo. But the thing is, people are catering to hype more than the it factor. You know what I'm saying? I think that we should hype fighters, because of course, hyping fighters just keep the interest in the sport of boxing. You know, it gives us an anticipation of a potential big fight, but also, we can't also dethrone the it factors and the top dogs with potential. You know, There's fighters out there in respected division that has passed the eye test. Boots Ennis passed the eye test, but he ain't better than Bud Crawford as of now in the 147-pound division. Just because there's fans that want to shame Bud Crawford because they want to see the Boots fights. You know, what else in the 140-pound division? We got Matias, right? A lot of people is hyped with Matias. But still, Matias, if you look at his resume, it's still he passed the eye test mode. Even though he got a strap, he still got a lot of things to prove. In which, let's say like a Teofimo Lopez, he proved himself in the 135-pound division to being Vasiliy Lomachenko, that was regarded pound for pound, 1, 2, 3. You could flip it around at the time. And then he went to the 140-pound division. Yes, he had a hiccup versus George Kambosos, but then he made it up and went to the 140-pound division and got the Sandow Martin, which retired Mikey Garcia, the 4-division world champion, and follow it up with a Josh Taylor, who was the undisputed and became the king, the lineal champion. But then people be like, oh no, Matias is the man. No, he's not the man. Let him become the man by beating the man. Let him do what Teofimo Lopez did. Let Matias, if you think that he's the man, then Matias got to go to the man and through the man. Facts. Pause. You know, we just can't give extra credit for no reason. We could praise, we could give them credit, but I think that the extra credit and to overshadow the people that has already done it, you know, we cannot. If they pass the test, they still got to pass the test. Put it that way, you know. So I like this. Oh, and guess what they announced as well? Bam Rodriguez versus Juan Francisco Estrada. Wow, what a matchup. And I really wanted to see this matchup because I believe that Bam Rodriguez is one of the fighters of this generation that's daring to be great as well. Almost, you see, like Tim Tszyu, don't back down, just want all the smoke. That's Bam Rodriguez when he did it with Cuadras and did it with Rumvasad and then went back down, won a fight with a broken jaw and came right back the same year and beat Sonny Edwards, an undefeated fighter. You know, that was a huge win as well. You know, Naoya Inoue, you know. He became a undisputed in a two division undisputed in 12 months. You know, he didn't have to go right away and move up and fight the undefeated unified champion Stephen Fulton, and he stopped Stephen Fulton. Next fight, he went to fight and fight for the undisputed and beat Tapale, something like that, and now he's fighting Luis Cinetti. You know, it's a dangerous fight. Of course, I think that most of the people, just like myself, got Naoya Inoue being Luis Cinetti, but it's a good fight. You know, he's risking it right there. So we got this generation of fighters is really not going into this Mayweather mode and trying to save an O, right? And the good thing about the 140-pound division as well is that the former champion, I was going to say Rolly because he does have an L, but all these guys has an L, except for what? The champion, Devin Haney. He doesn't have an L, but Tio got an L. Matias got an L. Pibble got an L. So they ain't even saving their O. So, you know what I'm saying? They're not saving their O. You know, Jose Ramirez got an O. Who else? You know, Cepeda got O. Regis Progress got O. You know, a lot of people ain't saving their O. So that's why I like the division as well. And Devin Haney is willing to also risk it. Even though that he doesn't got an O, but moving up and right away fighting Regis Prograis and then fighting Ryan Garcia, a guy that knows him very, very well. They got three wins apiece since the amateurs. Ryan Garcia was the last man to give Devin Haney an 8-count, so nobody knows Devin Haney quite like Ryan Garcia. So even with the X's and O's, we could see the momentum of Devin Haney, right? We could see the momentum of Devin Haney, and he looking sharp. He looking stronger than he was in 135 pounds. Maybe now he's giving his body time to mature, just like Teofimo Lopez is giving his body to mature, just like Ryan Garcia needed to let his body mature, right? These guys been lightweights since they were teens, 14, 15 years old. They're grown men, well in their 20s. And I think this is why you see the power of these guys have increased. Even Shakur Stevenson, when he moved up, you know, the way that he put out Yoshino, you know, you letting your body finally grow. And, you know, there is a lot of weight bullies in the sport of boxing. But once you see when they at the good time frame, they let their body grow. You see Earl the True Spence, he's been a welterweight since he was a teen. Got to go to the 154-pound division. I think that he could go to the 160-pound division. I think he'll be more comfortable. You could see sometimes they when they stay there too quick, they don't have that type of power, right? Errol Spence was knocking everybody out. Yes, he did put some damage on Udenis Ugas. But even with a broken orbital bone, Udenis Ugas kept on fighting. But you see the power has increased from a lot of these fighters that has moved up. Sometimes we question whether their power is going to carry on to the next division. But I think for the most part, the elite fighters, their powers has moved up. So I think that, you know, there's going to be a lot of questions with these two divisions, the 140 and the 154-pound division, right? Again, in the 154-pound division, anybody could get it. In the 140-pound division, hey, yo, if the champion don't come to play, it's so stacked up that the guy that's ranked number 12 overall in the 140-pound division, you could lose to. I mean, let's run it down again. We got the champions, right? We already mentioned the champion, but you still got Jose Ramirez, who's a credible ex-world champion, unified champion, right? He could beat the champions if they don't come out, you know, and perform to the level of their expectation, you know, or their progression. You got Gary Antoine Russell. You know what I'm saying? If you really match Gary Antoine Russell with anybody, even the champions, like who you got Gary Antoine Russell versus Pitbull Cruz? I probably side with Gary Antoine Russell. Gary Antoine Russell versus Matias. I probably side with Gary Antoine Russell. Gary Antoine Russell versus Devin the Dream Haney. Hey, you could side with it. Tio, you could side with Gary Antoine Russell, even though he's not a champion, because the skills pay the bills. We see it. But of course, I'm just talking about skills. But I wouldn't say that he's better than them. But if you put it, match him up, then he could upset them. You got Richardson Hitchens. Who else? You know, Brandon Lee. Brandon Lee's been inactive a little bit, I believe so. But you got a couple of fighters out there in the 140-pound division. I think that Gervonta Tandave is going to be moving up and fight Pitbull Cruz, in my opinion. I think that's the realistic fight, like I said earlier. Rolly Romero, I don't think he's going to get a chance. I think he's been used politically enough. But the 140-pound division, Teofimo Lopez, reported by ESPN, Mike Hoppinger, that he's going to be fighting Steve Cloge, something like that. I think a lot of people was critiquing that type of opponent. But let's be honest, I don't think a lot of people in the sport of boxing, especially in social media, has respected a two lineal champion like they should. Teofimo Lopez was calling out for Buck Crawford. There was a lot of people in the world of Twitter, the world of YouTube, and the boxing community that didn't give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, even though that he's proven that he's willing to dare to be great, you know, early on in his career when he went out there and fought Vasiliy Lomachenko and the Josh Taylors of the world are moving up and blah, blah, blah. And it was a legit call out when people didn't respect it, because, of course, people felt that the performance versus Jermaine Ortiz wasn't up to par or wasn't to the level of his expectation. And they see a lot of inconsistency of Teofimo Lopez. Yet in the end of the day, if people going to be like that, he fights to the level of his competition. Well, guess what? If he fights to the level of his competition, imagine when he fights the likes of Bill Crawford. Is he going to fight up to the competition? And speaking on the history of Teofimo Lopez, he shows up. You know, now if he's going to beat Terrence Bill Crawford, of course, Terrence Bill Crawford is going to be the favorite. But if people are going to go with the type of narrative that's saying that Teofimo Lopez fights at the level of his competition, then imagine if he's fighting guys like Devin the Dream Haney, he's going to show up. If he fights the likes of Gervonta Tang Davis, he's going to show up. If he fights the likes of Matias, he's going to show up. Pitbull Cruz, he's going to show up. You know, we could put some legacy behind it. He's going to show up. But Crawford, he's going to show up. So, I think this every fighter gets their easy touch. You know, even legendary fighters get their easy touch from Hagler, Duran. Just check out everybody's resume. Not everybody was fighting elite after elite after elite. So, I think that if you give him this type of fight in June, right? He'll fight in June, late June out there in Miami. And then get him another fight probably in what? June, July, August, September, probably in September, and probably get a fight in December. You know, he could fight four times a year, just like a lot of people want these fighters to fight. So, You keep him busy, keep him polished, keep him sharp. And a guy like Teofimo Lopez, who, if just like Chris Algieri said, I agree with Chris Algieri 100%. When Teofimo Lopez is on, I don't think nobody could beat him. I really don't. I really don't think that nobody could beat Teofimo Lopez when he's on 100%. Mm-mm. I just feel like he got the skills and the athleticism and the IQ. We've seen it at the highest level a couple of times. It's the reason why he's a two-time lineal. But there's other people that's getting better as well and young as well. You know, again, styles make fights. We've seen guys, we've seen the guy that got good style lose to a brawler. Like we've seen Ricardo Mayorga versus Forrest. So anybody can get it in 140-pound division, and anybody can get it in 154-pound division as well. Again, in 154, I would like to see, I think the realistic thing that's going to be happening is that Fundora vacates the WBO strap, and he fights Errol Spence. Let's see if Fundora puts his foot down and Samson says no, but it seems like his promoter is pushing Will Crawford to the side. So maybe that Errol Spence fight happened. And if I was Bud Crawford, I'd chase down Jermell Charlo. You know, I'd chase down Jermell Charlo. Or if you want the WBO to set up fights, then I think that we'll see the vacant title. And we see Bud Crawford fight Erickson Lubin for it. Or fight Josh Taylor for it, in my opinion. I think that's what's going to happen. Does Bud Crawford want to do that? I don't know. Maybe he need to go to the middleweight division. How about fight Jermell Charlo? Or try to fight Jermell Charlo. Get one of the Charlo brothers and stuff like that. Or fight Boots. You know? But at the end of the day, man, boxing is good. Boxing is great. I hope everybody's having a good Easter weekend. And going to have an Easter day. But as we all know, we can't replace a rabbit with Jesus Christ. This is the day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Shout out to the God seekers, the God believers. God is good. God is great. God is wonderful. The best investment you can make in your life is have God in your heart. Build that relationship, and you could be promised in the kingdom of heaven, and the gates will open up for you. Again, we're all brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of the Most High. We're only one race, the human race. So I hope everybody's doing well. Health is great. Hope your health is great. Hope your significant other is good and satisfied. And I hope your kids is good and healthy. Y'all already know this is Punch Drunk Boxing. Subscribe to the YouTube channel as well, Punch Drunk Boxing. Subscribe and follow me on Instagram, punchdrunk_boxing. Also follow me on Twitter. Well, X, formerly known as Twitter, Punch Drunk Boxing. Subscribe also to the website, punchdrunkboxing.net. We're everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. And TikTok, Punch Drunk Boxing, TikTok. You feel me? Tomorrow we'll be back at it. Talk more boxing. Love y'all. God bless. And on to the next.